Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on metaphysics, spirituality, paranormal, and healing. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show with Roz, Ivory, Terri-Anne, and Melissa. Today's topic is how to start a spiritual business. I want to be real clear, we're talking about anything in the realm of spirituality or healing or metaphysics. It's a little different. Some of the crossover is the same for any other business, but it's a little different too. So Roz and I started Sedona Soul Sisters together, 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. I've owned other businesses. I think Roz has, and I think you ladies have too. So we're going to talk about, and this, by the way, was a request of somebody who listens to our show. So please forgive us for taking so long to get to this topic, but we're
so happy to cover it for you.
I was thinking we should probably start with what you're going to do. I think one of the hardest things is people, when they're talking to me about their business, they say, I know what I want to do this, but I don't know how to define what I'm offering. I think you really need to sit down and come to the definition of exactly what you're offering before you open a business and try to market it. What do you ladies think about that?
Absolutely.
I totally agree.
It can be so hard. And I think the spirituality field can be esoteric, and people have a feeling, a knowledge in their heart and soul of what they want to do, but you have to be able to verbalize it and write it out clearly. So spend some time doing that, because you may actually discover you want to do something different than what you had in your head.
What? That's okay. I'm trying to do this with earphones. What you really have to keep in mind is, just because you love the subject and you know the subject, you have to find that niche market that is just as interested in it as you are. So it takes research, and it takes having, you know, the ability to analyze and figure out who's out there, who wants to hear what you have to say, who's interested, who wants to talk. So there's a market for almost everything, but you got to find it.
Absolutely. What were you going to say, Terri-Anne?
And it's kind of like when you're finding your tribe, right? You're looking for your people. You have to make those connections. So sometimes you have to put yourself out there or join groups that are spiritually based, and, you know, put your feelers out and sort of get a feel for how to actually begin. And I think for me, I know it really changed over time as well, what I presented early on versus what I present now. It grew and expanded as I grew and expanded too.
What do you think about that, Melissa?
For 30 years, I've done this same career, and I didn't mean to do it. Like, I didn't mean to. So there were words like psychic medium that were sort of, that's what we knew. That's the word we knew, right? So now, actually, last night, I was kind of going over things on my services menu, try to define it in ways that is easily understandable and helpful to everyone. And I was going through, like Terri-Anne said, like, as we change and grow as our lives do, and how the world grows with us. And it was kind of fun, because to start and continue as a spiritual esoteric business has been just an amazing journey. Really, it has. It's been hard to do it by yourself. You know, I did it for 30 years by myself almost. It has been tough, but also, like what Terri-Anne said, like to reach out and to connect with your soul people so that you find your niche.
And that's what I was going to bring up right before Roz mentioned it, was kind of, I equate it with this. We live in a community where every time you turn around, there's another Mexican restaurant or pizza place opening. And I always shake my head. I'm like, did they look around and see what we don't have? I mean, so if you like to cook that, great. But if the community doesn't need it,
it's kind of pointless. It's probably not going to succeed unless it blows all the competition away. So you are, let's say you are a metaphysical shop. Metaphysical shops tend to have a lot of similarities. So maybe what you need to really look at is where you locate your shop. Is there one, like in Sedona, this does not apply. It kind of, it does, but there's, you know, every time you turn around, there's a spirituality, metaphysics shop on the corner, psychic on every corner. We are not in an area that has a lot. It's kind of funny because I did this because my mentor talked to me about several things, about being in a professional plaza as opposed to being in a high tourist area. Two reasons: that the rent is a lot less and that it's quieter and you get a different kind of clientele. And I think that's all been very true for us. Like, we were the only place in that area. Then another one opened in the next plaza. Now there's one in the other end of our plaza. So now there's sort of like a little group forming around us, but for the most part, they were in Uptown and on 179. So maybe there's an area of your town that doesn't have what you offer. Maybe there's a very nearby town that doesn't have what you want to offer. But it's very important, you know, if you don't want to have to fight tooth and nail, then you either have to be in a place where it's more convenient for people who haven't had that convenience, or you're offering something others don't.
I think there's some truth to that, but I also think Sedona is pretty unique in the world. And the people that are drawn here because of their gifts, even if they're doing the same wording or the same definition of their service that they're offering, it's not the same. So you still have an opportunity to stand out and to attract your specific clientele. But being able to say that in marketing words is really important. And people have to be able to feel that too.
And I think we have to exclude Sedona and places like this from the conversation, which is why I'm saying Sedona. I'm not really talking about Sedona because this is a glut of a market and everybody does something a little bit different than the others. There's other places similar to this. And I don't think that what we're talking about here applies to that. But if you live in small town America, or actually even any other big city, it's probably good to think about your location. Do you want to bring in a lot of tourists? If so, you're going to need to be in a high traffic area. If you want people to walk by and see you and walk in, that's going to be, your rent's going to be 3 to 4 times higher than it is in a professional plaza to be in a high tourist area like that as a rule.
I think there's something to be said for that too. It really, it goes, I think, by what you really want. You know, do you want to pay that high rent and have that visibility? Or do you want a more slower pace? Because, you know, especially starting out, you know, I started from the bottom. So for me, it was like starting out slow. And now being on the road, what I found was I have not been able to find any metaphysical shops this side of the country. So like little pockets here and there I found, you know, and they're very, very different. One was high visibility on a street. You can see it straight from the street. The other was very much tucked away and was much more quaint and quiet. So I think it really depends on you, what you're really looking for. So narrowing that down, you know, being very specific about what you particularly want.
Absolutely. If you want to go for the high traffic and pulling in a lot of passerbys, you're going to be doing shorter readings as a rule. You're probably going to have a lot of people you see one time and never again. You're going to have, what I really didn't like about it was that you're going to see a lot of people who are just killing time. They've got 30 minutes before their dinner reservation and they want to fill that with something interesting. They're really not interested in learning something new about themselves or getting assistance with an issue. They want to be entertained for 30 minutes. And I don't feel like that's why I'm here. I don't feel like that's my niche, you want to say. That's not what I want to spend my gift doing. So that is important to think about.
Well, there is another side of that too, though. I feel like every day, I mean, I feel like the clients that book and that come in to see me are people who, whether or not they just want to be entertained, they get something and they receive something very important and very specific to them when they come in. So I think they might not have that in mind. They might not think that's going to happen, but a lot of times it does. And I also think whenever you look at opening any type of business in this day and age, but especially a specialized niche market, you have to look at it from the standpoint of worldwide visibility, not just the little corner where you are, because it's really important to have an effective internet presentation, a good website, a website that helps people realize exactly what it is that you're offering, and also that you have the SEO, the words, the search engine words that help people find you when they're looking for what you do. And I really feel like that has become so crucial. In the last 10 years, it's not all about that, but it's a lot. So you have to like really expand your vision and think not just about your specific location, but all the people who would want to reach you from all over the world.
I think you absolutely have to do that. I think that's an incredibly important point, because so many things happen online. You know, almost everything we do involves being online in some way. So why would you want to limit yourself just to the people who find you in the town you're located? I mean, right from the beginning, we aim to be a worldwide business, and that's worked out really well. It also helps to be in a place where people come from all over the world, get a reading, go home, and stay clients. So that helps too.
That helps too.
So one thing I want to bring up that I think is really important too is figure out the name of your business pretty early. Get it down, test it on some people, see what they think about it. And once you know what your business is, you better start searching online a trade name and making sure it's not already registered as a trade name in your state. You can register your name, your trade name of your business in the state or nationally or internationally. In the state's pretty inexpensive. As you go up, it gets incrementally more expensive. But that protects you from other people coming in and trying to use your name or a very similar name to your business and confusing people, maybe causing you to lose business. So that's something that needs to be done early on.
And tell them to be prepared to fight.
Yeah. I've had to, luckily I've only had to be very nice about a couple of things. People that tried to come in, that were coming into town and wanted to do a Sedona Soul Sisters event. And I had to nicely let them know, you probably didn't realize, but that's the name of our business and it's trade. And they were very nice about it. So, but yes, there's going to be people that try to open a business close to your name. And it's usually not on purpose. They just didn't search the trade name site. So don't do it to yourself, because if you pick a name, you go to all the expense of getting a sign up, which is expensive, and any other, you know, creating a website under that name. And then somebody sends you an email saying, cease and desist, we own that name. You know, so you really want to research that early on, just trying to help you with some of the pitfalls that either we went through or people we know went through. So there's also, you need to know that there's permits involved. So when you're looking at the cost of your rent, know that there's permits. Where we live, you have to have an occupancy permit. You've got to have a business license. We had to get this license that allows us to sell products. And then you have to do quarterly reports on those products you sold and pay, you know, your share of that, what you owe the state on it. So there's accounting. And that brings me to a point. Just because you're in a spiritual business or a healing business, don't think that you cannot or don't need to have business sense. If you don't have it already, get it. I would highly suggest you get together with mentors, people who've gone through this, take some classes, because you're going to need some business skills to make it. It is, in the end, a business.
I learned that from the bottom up. I mean, when I was doing my website, I designed my whole website on my own. And I swear it must have took like over a week of being frustrated, going home every day and crying. And I didn't know anything. I'm not technological, so I didn't know anything. And just every day, just really going for it. I really wanted to do it. I really wanted to learn that part of it as well, and not just, you know, leave that to somebody else to do for me. I think for me, that was very important for me to learn to do. So even those little things that you may not think about, you know, how to work the machine to pay, have people pay you, how to set that all up and how to set the widgets and the links up and all of that, I learned from the ground up. And it was frustrating, but I have to say, it was really worth it.
I actually had my first website designed for me, and it was my least favorite. And eventually I, for the same reason as you, Terry Ann, I wanted to be done a certain way. I wanted to be able to create it the way I envisioned it in my head. And I wanted to be able to go in and make changes myself with pictures, with text, changing the pages around, whatever I needed to do. And it was just what you described, Terry Ann. I mean, I was so upset and felt like an idiot and, you know, just crying and frustrated and like, I can't do this. But now I've redone it two more times to get it to my satisfaction. And I'll probably do it again at some point because I'll get an idea of a theme I want or a look I want. I think there's a lot of value in learning things like that because it translates over to things like your social media. You know, if you learn how to handle like building a website, doing social media is a breeze. Creating pictures, you know, coming up with things to write about, your blogs, you know, you need to be able to write in a blog regularly. So all of these skills that are required, I think we should talk about, I don't want to run out of time because this is a important topic. Whoops, sorry, there's somebody trying to get in. Let me let Madison in. There is a lot of times, and it was true for us, that we wanted to rent rooms to people, and we did. And we did not know what we were in for, did we, Roz? Let me unmute her. I bet her.
I'm sitting by the side of the road, sorry.
That's all right, I knew. So that renting process was an adventure, wasn't it, Roz?
It certainly was. And, you know, I had a friend of mine say, well, you should have known what you were getting into, like with renting to people, because you're psychic. I'm going, this is about business. It's two different things in a way.
Yes, Roz and I were sitting in interviewing these people, and we'd get so a great things. Feeling, and they were chaos.
That's putting it mildly.
They were. Oh my gosh. I think the craziest thing that happened, just a cautionary tale. It's not okay in Sedona to use your office space as a home. And we're not okay with that. We actually at that time had tour groups working out of our office too, who would come in at night. They would pick up their clients. They'd have them meet in our lobby and then bring them back there to get their cars. So I had just rented out my office and let another office. Her very first night, the tour guide came in at about 11 at night, turned on the light in the lobby, and a stranger comes toddling out in pajamas, completely wigged her out. She's like texting me, there's a stranger here. And of course that meant she was using that room for her home. So her first night was her last night. So, you know, people are going to tell you things. You really need to check references. That's bottom line here. Check references and have an ironclad lease. I use a legal lease for our business, especially when it was people that were new to us. We didn't know at all. Like I had very clear outlines in there. Like you cannot spend the night. You cannot use it as your home, all kinds of things. So it makes it very easy to get them out if things go awry.
And these are the things that we have in our lease too. I mean, this is a standard procedure, but unfortunately, I thought we had made that clear at the time. But.
We did. She just was not being honest with us. And I know I've heard the same thing where I was like, two of you in there, the two of you couldn't know she was not telling the truth. I'm like, do you think we have our psychic ability like at 100% all the time? We've been reading people that morning, you know, it's like, you know, you do your best, but if people want to deceive you, they can do a pretty good job with that. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you just have to really do more than tuning in, no matter how psychic you are, how intuitive you are, do some checks. I mean, I even think it's worth a background check on somebody who's a stranger, because you're going to see if they've had any foreclosures, if they've had times that they've been kicked out of any kind of renting, evicted from a rental situation, any kind of things like that, that might be a red flag, because this is your business and you don't want to be so nice and loving and accepting that you hurt your business. And Roz and I have been through some really rough times together with our business, getting it to the point that it is now. And some of that has been just really hard lessons. Wouldn't you say, Roz?
Yep. Very powerful. And interestingly, I feel like that from my perspective, it's kind of been a wake-up call, pretty dramatic wake-up call, because I do have a tendency to be trusting. You know, if someone tells me something, I expect them to be telling the truth. Sometimes I get that feeling where I know immediately they're not, but sometimes you're just doing what you're doing. You're not anticipating that. You're not even responding. And then surprise, someone's pulled a fast one.
Yes, and that's life, and so, you got to learn to roll with it. There was a point where Roz and I were talking, like, should we continue the business? We both wanted to continue, and it really was another kind of leap of faith moment, but it worked out so beautifully. I know if anybody's here listening to us like live on the show right now and you want to ask a question, you can ask it in the chat room. Or you're welcome to, you know, just let us know that you want to ask it and I'll unmute you and you can ask your question. Happy to answer it. If you're listening later, watching this later, you can ask us via email. That's in the show description. We'll be happy to answer your questions. I know there's a lot of specific things people really want to know about, and we can give you some basic guidance on that.
I know for me, one of the biggest things was trying to narrow it down, who I catered to, what I did, because I do many different things and many different modalities. So getting that now, like people will say, you have so many things, but I do so many things. So still trying to narrow that down. So just getting a feel for who you are. You know, for me, I'm a healer, but I also mentor. I also do mediumship. I also offer all these services. So for me, really, healing is my first love. So you'll see a lot of healing stuff on my page. So knowing what resonates with you also was my biggest takeaway, who I was catering to, what were they looking for, and what I was providing for them, which sometimes can be very difficult to put it actual into physical words.
That's a good point. It's great benefit to work for somebody else for a while for two reasons: to see how things are handled and to start building clientele, you know, especially if you can work for a place where you keep your clients, which can be tricky to find, but that allows you to not have so much overhead, hopefully, not always true, and build your clientele. But just know too that I think the biggest thing that keeps people from starting a business like this, any kind of spiritual healing business, is they're worried they're not going to be able to pay their bills. And that's a very absolutely understandable concern. I am a big believer in continuing the job you're doing now or finding something you can do for regular income while you build your business so that you're not worried. If you're worried all the time, how good of a session are you going to provide in the spiritual or healing realm? So true.
And for me, all the years, I mean, 30 years of this, like I travel with my work and that's extra scheduling and extra web page things. Like in the last couple of years, it's been the hardest for me to line up assistance on like scheduling and web pages and things like that. It's just gone badly. So that's to be able to be seen and connect with your people that you work with is really cool. And just like everyone was saying, the words like that can for your the right people to find you that resonate with you to be able to get yourself out there. And for me, always, all these years, because my mission inside, my mission for my whole career has been to help us find our answers and heal our hearts. That's like the overall view. So everything I've ever done has to be in integrity. Not sideways, not sort of. And I think all of us have that as well. Like that's, and it just shines out. That's where, that's a big key for me at least.
And I also think Melissa is one of the hardest working people I've ever known. I mean, she works at a level like hours a day, 6-7 days a week. And her schedule is just amazing to me. And partially, and I think Ivory very similar, partially that's because a lot of the things that are required to run this kind of business, you have to do yourself. I mean, I know you've had assistants, you've tried to train them, you know, just dealing with getting appointments made and clients and everything requires a lot of intuitive ability. And, you know, I'm always amazed, you know, talking about the number of years that you've been doing this, I'm going, oh my gosh, this woman is like a wellspring of energy. So one thing I think it's really important to think about when you're going to start doing any kind of spiritual business is to realize that you're kind of on call 24/7. And the larger your clientele, the more that becomes true. So you have to also come to the realization that you've got to really apply judicious scheduling because otherwise, I mean, I used to never I couldn't explain to people that by the time I went home at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, I was toast. I was just exhausted. And I'm actually doing better with that, with my scheduling. But, you know, I'm also older, really old. So I think you have to be realistic when you open a business like this, and you have to understand that it requires a level of demand that is never going to be a 9-to-5 job, mm-hmm. ever. So a good thing to know.
Just between
the work that goes on behind the scenes, right? Because it's not just, you know, seeing yes. your clients doing your work and going home. Now you have all this yes. work, whether you're updating your website, or you're writing your book, or you're doing speaking engagements, what you're doing in-person events, is all this other stuff that's going on as well. That is also time consuming. You have to prepare for it. That takes time. Going there and actually doing it, that takes time.
Well, and people who suddenly, you know, you have an ongoing client relationship with them, and suddenly they're having a crisis and they're calling you at 11 o'clock at night, desperate. I mean, they really need help. They need you to give them insight. So it's a lot more than people think it is. So you got to kind of be prepared for that, I think.
I think so too. What are you talking about? I got a call last week at 5:15 in the morning and 2:48 a.m. but like in the same week. And I kept thinking, oh my, I mean, it's a little overwhelming. And we all walk our walk. Everything that we're, all of our services, we have practiced, we've done it. We walk our walk. And so that's a really important part. Otherwise it can be a little, you know, it's hard to believe. Some of mine services are a little bit fantastical, like many hours of vortex tours and readings. And I love that. That is me. That's true. That's honest, true work. But I've practiced, I've done it for myself and in myself as well. So that authenticity and everything as well. I just am in awe and honor. Thank you, Ross, by the way, of all of us and others around us sometimes that have just really worked really hard and have beautiful, it's their light, it's their truth that comes through their work is what I'm trying to say.
And I think your point about integrity is very valid. You know, you have to go into this with a true attitude of service, providing service, caregiving, emotional, spiritual. So it's, you know, that integrity and that focus is crucial. And I know the four of us, you know, we don't ever, I don't think, have the expectation that something couldn't pop up and take over our day with people and with their situations. So
I think it's important to ask yourself if you really want to be a business owner or a renter. And I think this is important because early in our business, we had an experience with two people who wanted to be part like a business owner with us, but they thought that it would be like renting, that they would just pay their rent, come in and do their readings and go home. But the reality of a business owner means you're either going to share the cleaning of the facility, or you're going to chip in for paying someone to clean your business regularly. You're going to have to make sure things are running, that supplies are purchased. It's not okay to have that fall on one or two people in your business. So if it's you who's thinking of doing this, just be honest with yourself about what you're willing to do as a business owner. And if that really sounds like something you're willing to take on, because if not, you're probably not going to be happy. And it's good to be honest with yourself of what you need in your life, what you have time for, what you're willing to do right from the start. If you decide you're going to rent to people, just something this very important, you can't just take the cost of the rent and divide it by four, or even your last monthly utilities and divide it by four, however many people you're going to be renting to. You have to do like average out each bill, the electric bill, the gas bill, the water bill, the sewage bill, the phone bill, the computer, all of this, average out what it is for the year, and then divide that by 12. And add a little more, because sometimes utility prices rise in the summer and winter. Prices suddenly go higher the next year than they were the year before. You need to be prepared for that. You do not figure in things that are business owner related, like tenants aren't going to be paying for paper products, or to me, that's part of rent. They're not going to be paying to replace a piece of equipment, because that's a business owner responsibility. So just take into account all the expenses. I don't have tenants pay for permits and business licenses, because to me, that's Roz and I's cost of doing business part of that. So that's not passed on to them. But, you know, just things like that to take into consideration so you don't undercharge. And you need to look in the area and see what other people are typically charging. But it kind of is pointless. It really depends on where you're planning to rent and your expenses.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. And many years ago, starting a business in the Midwest, where it was, you know, over the years, it's become more acceptable to be in a spiritual business. That also, everything you just said, Ivory, I had to take into account in the different positions, in the different ways, as well as like Terry Ann knows this with the travel and working, you know, doing teachings and different workshops and things like that. The costs and the gas money and the tires. And I remember being on the road one time and I ran over, someone lost their engine in the middle of the highway, right? And I'm thinking, oh no, because it was too late because it hit my car. And I thought, well, that wasn't, I did not add that cost onto this trip. And, you know, and the different pieces that we all go through, like we have to get new phones sometimes, and that's annoying. And, you know, all the different things, but to remember that there are other pieces and of as on top of all of the spiritual esoteric work is kind of, you know, kind of more difficult. I don't want to use the word difficult, but a little bit more challenging than people realize, you know. And sometimes people want to be your friend to, like, if you are in this business, they want to be your friend to, you know, learn things and be like you. And that has been a factor for me sometimes because my boundaries are terrible. It's a lifelong theme of learning boundaries for me. But that in this business in particular is a little bit tough. Someone either wants to tell you what to do or they want to be like you. And so that added on to, you know, daily stuff is a little bit stressful sometimes.
And that kind of is why I started offering classes and building a spiritual business, because I personally don't have time to have my brain picked on a casual basis. I'm happy to help people in a session with setting up their business and talking about problems they're having and social media and blogging and things like that. But that's something I offer professionally. And then for friends, I will give that to them free, you know, over lunch, you know, get or a phone call, give them some information. But we have to respect, it's something to really pay attention to from the beginning is, yes, we can be very workaholics, but I know I've learned what my limits are. And if I push past those limits too many times, I get sick. And that's not unusual in this business. So you cannot count on working crazy hours on and on and on for most people without having a psychic illness where you're just worked to exhaustion.
That's so important to say, I think. I wouldn't have thought of that, but that's really important to point out.
I learned that at that afterlife conference where so many parents, bereaving parents, were begging me to do a mediumship reading for them. And I actually was all booked up, but I said yes to one and that got around. And then there was more like, well, you're doing it for them. And then I felt like I had to do more. And then by the time that event was over, I was sick for 2 weeks, just out of commission. So is it worth it? I mean, honestly, I think it's okay to tell people, I can't do that now for my own protection, but here's my card. I'll give you the same discount on a reading you get here. Just contact me and we'll set it up. But, you know, you have to protect yourself. If you don't do it, nobody else will. And that's something to think about, structuring your business. And we've all talked about it. There's so much to be done. And Terri Ann, you hit it on the head. Like sometimes I'm just, my head is reeling with the stuff that goes on behind the scenes because I do the social media. And when we started this business, I started social media on every possible platform there was. Big mistake. we have a presence there, but there's no way one person, unless that's their full-time job, can really do decent social media on a bunch of platforms. So pick a couple. I know most of the experts now are saying, if you want to reach a young audience, do Instagram. If you want to reach an older audience, do Facebook. So I'm choosing to focus on those two because we do both. And I really can't put a lot of attention into Pinterest and things like that. I just, you know, you have to pick the things that work for you. We've always said, most of our business comes from two sources, word of mouth or Yelp. So one thing we do, we don't advertise. We've tried it a few times over the years. It really didn't do anything. But Yelp, we have a paid, enhanced page on Yelp so that we can have more information, a little more responsive, a little more interactive. We get a lot of business from it. And I think it's an investment that's well worth it. It pays itself back to us month after month, year after year. You can figure these things out for yourself. Not every business is going to do great with paid advertising. A lot do, most do. I mean, I worked in radio and the whole thing was writing, you know, I wrote a ton of commercials and voice commercials for businesses. because, you know, you do marketing, you do advertising to get your business, but things are different now that there's social media, and it really depends on your clientele, what you're offering, what you're trying to create.
And this is another really good point, because Ivory and I feel like we were fortunate because she had worked in radio. I have a degree in journalism, but my focus was public relations and marketing. So we both brought experience and knowledge, because I had done that for years, so had she, that other people would have to research, learn, whatever. And I think that's something that's really important to realize, is you are going to have to invest some time in these kinds of backgrounds and informational sources. And you may have to have a budget that allows you to pay someone to help you with these things. Because I know we have paid at various times for things that we needed done that we just realistically, we didn't have the time. If it's anything technological, I don't have the ability. So, you know, it's really important to make that analysis of what you can pay for and what you need to pay for as a service to your business and what you can do yourself.
I have a lot of friends in varying business who pay people to write their blog post. They give them a topic, some points, and those somebody else writes their blog post. I think that's okay as long as you have input into it and you get to read it before it's posted to feel like you feel okay with a message being sent out there. You got to find somebody who can write in a style that feels comfortable, sounds like it comes from you. The most important thing is that your clients hear from you regularly. We have a monthly newsletter that goes out to our whole client base. We have occasional ones for news, big updates that go out. We have all our social media. We have our talk show we've done for years. You've got to get the message out regularly. All of these things have to come into play. I think it would be naive to go into business thinking that you can just open the doors and business is going to flood in. You know, I'm sure that does happen for some people in certain circumstances, but the truth is, the rule of thumb is that it's going to take a certain number of years before you turn a profit for most businesses. It's going to take a certain amount of time until you can replace the income from your current or previous job. And those are all things to be realistic about. All this nodding going on. Mm-hmm. If you're going into business by yourself, in some ways, I think it's easier because you can call all the shots, make all the decisions. You don't have to discuss it with anybody. You're doing everything. The negative part of it is you're doing everything. So just keep that in mind, you know. So
there's also a lot of positive things about a partnership.
I think, yeah, that's what I was hoping you would say is, you know, like, I feel like Ivory and I have been very fortunate. We met where we were both already, we were not in business together. We were renting separate locations, but in one spot. We realized that we both had the same goals and aspirations. We also realized, you know, that we felt like we needed to do things a little differently because of our specific focus of our businesses. And as it ended up, our partnership has been very successful. You know, we bounce ideas off of each other. We're able to, there's no doubt that we tune in on things together when we're working on projects. And I feel that finding, if you would like to have a partner, finding the right partner is crucial. We've got to have the same focus of energy, the same integrity, the same level of commitment, and got to be able to both, you know, step back from ego and be focused on doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. I feel very proud to say that we've never missed a rent payment, even through COVID madness. I think that's like, we should be giving ourselves some gold stars to wear around, everybody who made it through that and kept their business. You know, not that anybody did anything wrong who lost theirs. I think we were very blessed. And I think because of the high level work we're doing and working with angels and just helping people, so many people, I really think the angels watched over us and God smiled down upon us and said, we got to keep these ladies going. And it wasn't easy, right, ladies? I mean, it wasn't easy. I had my concerns through that time, whether we were going to make it. But
if you're ever in a time like that, I think there's great benefit to
reaching out to your landlord and saying something like, hey, you know, I'm concerned I might not be able to make it. What will happen if I need to be late? Or what would you do? And you know, our landlords were awesome. They actually said, we will work with you. And we didn't need to do that, but it gave me peace of mind. I probably Roz too, to know they were willing to do that. And it didn't happen. So we were worrying for nothing. But again, if you have questions, we're happy to answer them. It doesn't have to be during the show. Our email address is posted in the show description, and don't be afraid to reach out to us. We're happy to help you. And even if your business has nothing to do with our business, it's totally fine. We actually help people who are, well, I do, I shouldn't say we do. I help people who are in a whole lot of different kinds of businesses, not just spiritual or healing, but those are fun. Tune in next Friday when our topic is activating your Merkaba. That's going to be another fun one. I feel it swirling and spinning already. In the meantime, have a beautiful, enlightened week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.